It's the KSL Movie Show.
It gave the audience feelings they weren't sure they should enjoy.
With Doug Wright and Steve Sales. The week's big movie review, movie news, games, and prizes. Here's Doug Wright.
In the future, if you could not interrupt me, that would be way better.
On KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
You interrupted him, didn't you?
I know. I interrupted. I mean, you know, the high-priced announcer that we hire, you know, for what, $4 and a Diet Coke?
Bag of chips.
And a bag. You put in a bag of chips.
I thought I would.
Well.
It'd be nice.
We're generous folks.
Yeah.
At least
Actually,
it was
just the last Pringle in the Pringles can.
At least it wasn't a Twinkie. You know, that would put us over the top on budget. No doubt about it. It is the movie show, and we're hanging out with our friends at Zero Res today. We happen to be at their Draper location. Jake will be joining us coming up, talk about some of the cool things they have in store for you. And even though it's not officially spring yet.
Sure wish it was.
This is the time to start doing your spring cleaning.
I know we need the water, but
I know.
Come on.
I know. Has been crazy.
It's been nuts.
Yeah, as I was driving in, you know, 202%. On the snowfall and everything in Salt Lake County. And you go around the state, and it's kind of the same thing. Right now in Eureka, I'm not kidding you. I was down there 2 days ago, and it just keeps snowing and snowing. And because of the wind, the drifts down there.
Yeah.
And, you know, and our crew there in Juab County, I mean, they've got a lot of, you know, distant roads and small communities and everything else. In Eureka, up on the side of the hill where I am, it's like you're driving through tunnels almost with top. Yeah, it's
well, my brother
amazing.
Lives up in Mammoth, and he always brags, you know, we get all the snow. I'm like,
yeah.
Huh, not this year, bro.
Not this year. Yeah, it's absolutely crazy. But again, I shall not whine.
No, we need it.
We needeth the water.
My tractor cannot pull it through that much snow.
Why is it when you put a TH on everything, it sounds either like scripture or Shakespeare, one of the two?
Probably neither.
Not on the movie show, it doesn't. No way. All right, we probably ought to do the movie show preview, and especially since it is sponsored by our good friends at Call Climate Services. Here we go.
The following preview has been rated G and is appropriate for all audiences. The Movie Show. Special feature.
Okay. How special is it, though?
Why?
That's the question.
And the rated G part is a little...
Rated G. Yeah. It's like,
that's a little dubious.
What are those guys doing again today? Okay. We're going to be talking about Creed 3, Operation Fortune, One Fine Morning, Children of the Corn?
Oh, yeah, baby.
Oh,
we're back.
No. Really?
The Children of the Corn.
Cornier than ever?
Oh, it is awful.
Okay. And then we're going to be looking at streaming stuff, too. You know, you're such a fan of The Mandalorian.
Had the first episode of season 3 on Wednesday.
And then The Consultant.
Oh, Christoph Waltz.
Ooh. He is one of the nicest, sweetest, creepiest guys in Hollywood.
And this might be the perfect role for him. Oh, yes.
Wow. Okay. Now, let's see what else have we got here. So the big movie review will be Creed 3. That's coming up in just a moment. And we'll have movie news. And Jeff the Whipple is appearing as a special guest on the movie show. Well, I don't know if he's going to actually appear here with us or not. You know, he has a reputation to keep up and to be seen in public
with
us.
Well, he's welcome to come down. Up.
He is certainly welcome to come by, you know, especially if he brings Cheetos popcorn.
That is your favorite, isn't it?
It's good.
Do you put like M&Ms in there too?
No. No, you don't want the sweetness. This is just
savory
saltiness. Kind of like the movie show.
Well, yeah.
Well, somewhere in there.
More salt, less savory.
You know what prompted the Jeff the Whipple appearance, other than the fact we love the guy, is the fact that remember a couple of weeks ago we were talking about all of the formats around the world,
right, different
prints, different everything, you know, everything from subtitles to dub overs to Atmos to Dolby to IMAX to, you know, and it got me to a thinking, Steven.
That's always dangerous.
I know. It's always dangerous. I was thinking with all them theaters that the Megaplex folks are operating, I wonder how many of the formats, how many different formats it takes.
What's the over and under on this? 8?
No, more than that.
10?
More than that. I mean, just the sound alone would probably be around 8.
Oh, right, Atmos.
You know, and then the different, you know, digital and everything else. And
All right, I'll go 12.
12? Ooh, gee, I don't have a clue. I can tell you, though, for sure, at the Prairie Theater in Ogallala, Nebraska, they have one.
Did you have to share the speaker?
You know, yeah. They just put a speaker down in the middle of the aisle at the front. And
you know, you forget how we used to watch movies.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah,
like,
we didn't.
What did he say?
I know. Oh, man. Yeah.
Now he's behind you saying it like, ah.
I know, and off to the side and around and about and everything else. Okay, so Jeff the Whipple will be joining us here on The Movie Show. We'll have streaming news coming up and The Movie Show Top 10, which also is sponsored by Call Climate Services, by the way. By the way,
love them.
I know. Yeah, Steve loves them because for the first time in how many years now you actually have reliable warmth in your home?
Well, don't act like I, you know, got a stove that I have to stoke every morning.
Uh-huh.
Which is pretty close.
But it's pretty close.
They saved my bacon. That's all I got.
You had a furnace you had to kick every morning. or in the middle of the night and four times. Anyway, meanwhile, back at the ranch.
Love them.
Telephone Torture, sponsored by the Megaplex Theaters.
Ah, yes.
And we've got tons of stuff coming up on today's movie show.
We do.
Tons, Stephen.
All right.
Right here on KSL News Radio.
The Movie Show.
It's a fake laugh.
It's real. On KSL News Radio.
Would people really laugh at us like that?
Oh, all day.
Being the, just the premier movie geeks in the known universe.
Sure.
Sure. Yeah. No, they absolutely will and do. Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for the big movie of the week.
And now, the big movie review. Doug and Steve tell you everything your family needs to know about the biggest release of the week.
Okay. Steven, we need a little sound, I think, from Creed 3. Here we go.
My name came back. The past came back.
There may have been a time when Damien had your back,
but that's not what he's doing now.
Before I got locked up, I was the best.
You a coward, bro, and a fraud. Try spending half your life in a cell,
watching somebody else live your life.
I'm just getting started, little brother. I'm coming for it all.
He's not going to stop.
Then you make him.
Okay. We have, two childhood friends, and, you know, one's a little older than the others, you know, going for Golden Gloves. I mean, he is the man. Yeah. The other kid also has the same ambitions, but just worships this guy, Damien. And what happens is apparently they had somebody in a home or a, you know, rescue place that they did not like at all. It's left a little vague what he actually did, but these kids hate his guts.
Yeah.
Well, one night they see him coming out of a convenience liquor store, and I'll tell you, the younger kid, who we find out later in the movie is Adonis Creed, he just beats the tar out of this guy. And, to the point where he's going to kill this guy. And so the other kid, Damien, you know, kind of intervenes, but he has a gun. And it's one of those classic scenes where, you know, the one is perhaps guiltier than the other, but the one is a little older. And anyway, the one kid just books Adonis. The other kid gets caught, goes to jail for 18 years.
Yeah.
In the meantime, Adonis goes on and trains and everything else and becomes the, you know, heavyweight champion of the world, you know, the whole deal.
Has all the belts
and a beautiful home, gorgeous wife, everything else. And, you know, his home is so cool, ultra modern, all of the cool things in there, a whole wall that has the, you know, belts behind glass and everything else. And he owns a gym. And of course, you know, the person that helped him, trained him, is there at the gym working on it. They're training other kids and everything seems to be just peachy. But, and Creed has retired now. He's done.
He's been retired for 3 years.
Yeah, he's been retired for 3 years and he won an underdog fight. You know, and pretty much, okay, this is going to be it. He's had concussions, you know, the whole deal. Yeah. Well, Damien gets out of jail and plays the cards, you know, and everything else, and represents himself to be a little different than he actually is. And what happens in this exchange is unique. I mean, tapping in on the friendships and the loyalties and the guilt factor and knowing what actually went down at that liquor store. And holy cow, and where this goes. You know, some of it, though, Steve, you know, I when the rep caught me after, I said, boy, the, you know, you kind of can't help but love all of the Rocky and Creed movies and everything else now. But, man, it's just gone a few rounds too long for me. It really has. But, you know, I didn't dislike the movie. I'm glad I saw it. But, you know, the bell needs to ring on this. You know, it's just kind of regurgitating all kinds of things. And so, I don't know. It's, you know, this is, on your scale, it would be a C+, B- Ooh. For me. Yeah.
Well, my only problem, I thought Michael B. Jordan did a great job. I love Jonathan Majors, even though he's played some kind of dubious characters of late. But he was great in this as that hungry guy that's like out for revenge. But, you know, he's wearing it on all of his sleeves. You can tell that he definitely is just a mad dog, crazy.
Did you notice, too, that, you know, the kids, you know, actually, you need to reverse it. You know, it's like, you know, Michael B. Jordan should be playing, you know, Damien.
Yeah.
And the other guy should be playing Creed.
Well, especially when they showed him younger.
Yeah.
He looked like he was
the
18
stature,
and the other kid was like 13.
And even the facial structure and everything else, that bugged me a little bit. But, you know, I got over it.
Well, the other problem I had with the film is that it doesn't say anything about Rocky other than, hey, you could be an underdog fight like Apollo and Rocky. Remember those guys? Like, duh. And then at the very end, they finally play some of the strains of the Rocky music.
Yeah.
And I thought, okay, that it?
Yeah.
I kind of felt like, and I know that there's a backstory that the producer, Erwin Winkler, and Sylvester Stallone have a real issue about who owns the rights. Well, Winkler owns the rights completely.
Yeah.
And it bugs Stallone to death to where he brought it up.
He is in the credits somehow, and I can't remember what it was, because I was watching for it too. I went, well, you know, this is weird. Where was the bone thrown to Stallone?
Yeah.
I mean, he's the godfather of this whole franchise.
And I know they don't have to keep dragging him out.
Right.
But at least, you know, proper homage. If he's dead or something, just do something with him.
That's right.
The other thing I liked was I thought the boxing was fast and furious. That was
good,
spectacular, and I liked the daughter, with the hearing impaired daughter.
Yeah.
Then everybody was signing, and I thought that was delightful.
It was really
that
sweet.
That was very cool.
Have you noticed that too? And it's not just since Coda, but Coda was kind of in the middle of it all, you know, building up to and everything else. I love the way, you know, hearing impaired individuals are represented and presented in movies as full tilt players.
Absolutely. And I thought that was a really nice touch. But again, my only issue with it, probably, I get the repetitiveness of the, although I couldn't understand his motivation. I get that, you know, you've been retired for 3 years in boxing. That's a big deal.
Oh, yeah.
You don't just walk back in and start, you know, going at it. His motivation is like, oh, well, he wants all my stuff. Well, you know, let him go do whatever he's going to do. You know, I just thought that was a little...
So what's your grade on it?
I gave it a B. I still liked it enough.
You're a little more generous than me, but, I mean, I'm glad I saw it.
Yeah.
You know,
and I thought he did a great job directing. Yep. Michael B. Jordan directed. Yep. I thought that was fantastic. Just throw Rock a bone. That's it.
I know.
Throw him a bone and maybe come up with something a little different, although it reminded me of that movie Warrior with Joel Edgerton and Tom Hardy, where they were almost like brothers. Well, they were brothers.
They were.
And that one was handled even better, I thought, because the way they kind of worked it out. But they had that scene towards the end where they're talking about it and like, that's it?
Yeah.
It's not your fault. It's not your fault. Okay, well.
Okay, we're fine. We're good.
That felt a little soft to me. So.
Yeah. All right. We're on basically the same page here. Rated PG-13.
It is,
right? And it is titled Creed 3.
Only in theaters.
Only in theaters. Good for them.
Yeah.
And then eventually, as the heavens intended, it shall go to streaming.
Exactly.
Exactly. All right. Well, on that note, let's go to our movie news. Here we go.
Not just any news.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
Movie news.
Action!
On the KSL Movie Show.
I didn't know there was such brouhaha that was going on around Super Mario Brothers. And apparently, because they chose Chris Pratt to be the voice. A lot of the hardcore fans.
Wasn't he supposed to be Italian?
Yeah, well, you know, but I mean, they're just going. I mean, but he's an actor. That's what actors do.
Yeah, but I can't wait to hear his Italian accent.
Kind of like your dialogue, you know, and your accents that all sound like Liam Neeson. You know, it's kind of the same thing. So anyway, so fans are wondering, you know, why they didn't go back to the Nintendo icon. And I hope I'm pronouncing his name correctly. Charles, it's either Martinet or Martinet. I'm not quite sure.
I have no idea.
Yeah, we have no idea.
Was
so
he the original voice?
Yeah, he did everything as far back as 1992.
Yeah, but he's no Chris Pratt.
And they're going, why wasn't he brought back? I mean, but these are the diehards. So anyway, Chris Pratt is going to be the voice of the beloved video game hero. Nintendo allegedly is totally on board with this. They're going, no, this is good. And for the royalties they're making, I'm sure I'd be good too. Super Mario Brothers movie scheduled for release in the U.S. of A. on April 7th, 2023.
Yes.
What have you got, Steve?
What in the world is happening with Star Trek IV? Chris Pine recently was asked, and he said, I have no idea.
No idea. I'm just starring in it.
But the franchise producer, J.J. Abrams, says the script is in a good place. Well, can we bring it out and do something with it?
It's in a good place. Does that mean the vault?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Because I will say it's the first time since the original reboot, not the original, that we have had a story that feels as compelling as the first one. However, last September, Paramount announced it was moving Star Trek IV off of its release calendar.
Well, that ain't good.
No. So we haven't had a Star Trek movie since 2016, so...
Wow.
Come on.
Okay. Come on.
Let's do this.
Warner Brothers Discovery has... this is fleshing out a little bit what you dropped on us a week or so ago. The fact that there are those who want to... I mean, this is almost sacred territory for some people, the Lord of the Rings, The Hobbit, and everything. Mm. Well, apparently, I mean, they are just unabashed. They want to transform the saga of Middle-earth into a Star Wars-style franchise. It's a multi-year deal made between Warner Brothers, New Line Cinema, and the Embracer Group. And Warner Brothers... They're just making, you know, no bones about it. They want to do everything. They want to do sequels. They want to do prequels. They want to do spin-offs of the characters and everything else. And so it's been 2 decades since Peter Jackson's The Lord of the Rings trilogy came to that epic conclusion. I know, isn't that just crazy? I mean, it's just nuts. But I'll tell you, Tolkien fans... are just kind of holding their breath on this and go, oh, please don't ruin this.
They're gonna.
Yeah, probably. You know, and even if they hit one, there's going to be a couple where you go, are you kidding me? They're doing this to that character? And what is the son of Gandalf? I mean, what are we doing, you know?
The only ray of sunshine in this story is that Peter Jackson is still somehow in the loop.
Right. And they say that they're bouncing things off him and so on.
He goes,
so,
I don't like that. Never mind.
Anyway, so The Lord of the Rings, The Rings of Power Season 2 will have 8 episodes and is expected to premiere in 2024 on the streaming service Amazon Prime.
There you go. John Williams celebrated his 91st birthday last month, but he hasn't slowed down a bit. The 5-time Oscar winner, by the way, 53 nominations.
Isn't that incredible?
Unbelievable. He's currently nominated for The Fabelmans. He's done 29 films with Spielberg. 3 of his 5 Oscars come from Spielberg movies.
Right.
Jaws, E.T., Schindler's List. He just finished recording the score for Indy 5, Dial of Destiny, which features, get this, more than an hour and a half of music.
Wow.
He says he's even written a special theme for Phoebe Waller-Bridge's character, Helena Shaw, and he's playing it in various concerts around the country. He's played it in L.A. recently, and apparently he's really fond of this new theme song for Phoebe Waller-Bridge. He says, my favorite part of the new movie, the Hepburn-Tracy bickering between Harrison and Phoebe.
Cool.
I can't wait.
Cool. Yeah. John Williams, when I think of his scores and his music, it is, and it always reminds me, I've told the story before, but what Henry Mancini told me, that the movie scores of the 20th century are kind of our classical music.
Oh, yeah.
And you think that is absolutely true, you know, like what was happening in the 17th, 18th, and 19th century, what happened in the 20th century. I mean, everybody from Bernstein to Copland to Gershwin to and John Williams. And so many, Danny Elfman, I mean, it just goes on and on. And when you see now symphonies that are performing, not even just as a score, although they're doing that as well, but they're performing parts of it in regular symphony, you know.
Well, in fact, he mentioned that his concert schedule for this year is Berlin, is, you know, Manila.
Yeah.
All of the orchestras are playing his music to massive audiences.
Right.
So
incredible.
Good.
All right. Anything else in movie news?
One other thought. Spielberg, what do you think?
Is this really a thought?
It's a thought.
Is this an original thought, Steven?
No, not original at all. What do you think is Spielberg's idea of a perfect movie that he has made? What do you think his idea?
Ooh. Of a perfect movie
of,
that he's
of
made.
Of the movie that he's made that he...
Wouldn't be 1941.
No.
No, it wouldn't be that one. No, Schindler's List?
That would have been my guess, too. E.T., Extraterrestrial.
E.T.?
He says, that movie I watch over and over. I can watch it. There's a couple things I probably would have done differently, but to me, that is as close to a perfect movie as I've made.
Interesting.
Yeah, I thought so.
Yeah,
E.T.
Yeah. Wow. Okay, one of the Fablemans.
No.
No, okay.
Although he did cry when he saw Paul Dano and Michelle Williams come out dressed like his parents.
Yeah.
He said he just broke down in tears.
You know, I've seen some things with Spielberg where he is, you know, he just so naturally gets emotional.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool, you know.
Yeah.
It's nice to see the real
director.
Deal. All right, on that note, let's take a brief respite. We shall come back and review another movie.
Oh, come on, the Corn, Children of the Corn.
Oh, are we going to trash that?
No.
No.
Nah.
No, I suspect we shall.
Movie reviews and Hollywood news. The KSL Movie Show.
Okay, Stephen, let's get a little sound from a movie called Children of the Corn. Here we go.
I know. It sucks. It's so hard sometimes you can hardly breathe. But I can help with your pain. Brace yourself. He who walks, he talked to me. He took care. So now I'm going to take care of him.
Like killing all the adults.
For starters.
You know, during the pandemic, Dee caught up on Dee and I. I hadn't seen Children of the Corn for a million years.
Oh yeah,
we watched it. You know, and it's cool, but it's creepy.
Well,
and
Linda Hamilton,
a little dated, but you know, hey, it's cool. What did they do to the movie this time?
Well, instead of a religious zealot situation, it is a toxic environmental situation. The corn has been so, you know, pesticided to death that it's killing all the corn. And the people in the town are like, well, I guess we better come up with something else. And they're like, hey, no, this is our... And the children, you know, like, we don't get a vote, but doggone it, the corn needs to be saved.
Golly gee willikers.
And here's why, because this little girl named Eden, who is, by the way, the best thing about this movie, she's like a 12, 13-year-old girl. She is delightfully evil, as she is now buddies with He Who Walks. And, of course, now our effects are a lot better, so we can actually do a bunch of weeds coming up. So they want to kill all the adults, which seems odd. Who's going to feed you little brats? The corn is dead, you know?
Okay.
So it's a stupid movie. This guy has remade some other – I think he did Texas Chainsaw
– Yeah.
Called it Texas Chainsaw Picnic or something stupid. So he loves going back and kind of reliving these, but he does them badly.
Oh,
and this
no.
one might be one of the worst. Although, little Eden, played by Katie Moyer, I'm not going to badmouth her because she's good.
Okay.
And this was shot, I think it was shot in Australia, but it's still supposed to be Nebraska.
Okay.
Children of the Corn. C minus.
C minus.
C minus, yeah.
Wow, that's almost down to your coveted D.
Yeah, I know. And the D-plus is saved for movies that are so bad that they're actually funny and
funny,
good.
Yeah.
This one just hurts.
So this is almost Limbo, as low as you can go.
And, you know, and not feel like, I mean, it's still a little bit scary, but, you know, come on.
PG-13 or R?
Oh, it's R.
R.
Yeah.
Okay, Children of the Corn. How do we see this classic?
It's in theaters.
Theaters.
All over.
Oh, thank heaven.
Well, maybe just Megaplex.
Okay. Well, we'll check with Jeff V. Whipple, who will be joining us next from the
Great. I just trashed his movie.
I know you just he has his ways of getting revenge.
The movie show.
It is not a donut hole, but a smaller donut with its own hole. And our donut is not a hole at all.
On KSL News Radio.
Ooh, did he say donut? Wow.
What are you, Pavlov's dog all of a sudden?
Well, all of a sudden I'm realizing that, hey, we got lots of KSL leftover Halloween candy here.
Yeah.
But no
nothing
donuts.
Says
with the three things.
The three things. That's the three things are donut, and apple fritter. Am I right or am I right?
You had me at apple fritter.
Yeah, I had you at apple fritter. Hey, speaking of the movie show and everything that just fits in beautifully on the movie show, we have a very special guest with us today.
Oh?
Jeff the Whipple.
It's, by the way, it's Glenn.
Just in case you're wondering. The. He's, you know, Jeff, have you changed it officially on your birth certificate yet? You know, you can do that.
Well, you know, the attorney is still working on the paperwork. These things take so much time. But
I know. And, you know,
I must confess, I was greeted at church the other day by Jeff the Whipple. It was delightful. So
like
the audience
Megan
is almost
Stallion.
Doubled here. Yes.
Nice. Yeah, I can just see. Next, we'll be hearing from Brother Jeff the Whipple.
If they spelled it T-H-E-E, that'd be hilarious.
Yeah, T-H-E. Well, Gustavo, on my rundown, look at this. Get Jeff the capital T-H-E-E Whipple.
I even like that better.
Yeah, well, it's
getting
big time.
I'm going to have to amend the application with the attorney, I guess.
Exactly. You know, just throw in an extra E there, and it kind of puts you in a whole different status. Jeff, it was a couple of weeks ago, and it was on Movie News that I was telling Stephen to guess how many different formats it took to show Avatar around the world and get the kind of exposure that they wanted and needed and everything else.
Now that changes everything.
Yeah, well, you know, and so all of a sudden when it was well over 1,000, wasn't it like 1,068 different formats or something? Or it was something like that. And but when you stop and think about it, first of all, there'd be a lot of dubbing. There'd be a lot of, you know, different subtitles.
Sure.
And different. So just accommodating the languages. But a lot of that number actually was in the different formats and all of the ways it's shown. And, you know, and I was telling Steve a little earlier, I don't know if you've listened to the whole show today, but I said, you know, I can flat guarantee that the Prairie Theater in Ogallala, Nebraska, they offer one format.
Lucky to get that
of
one.
Avatar. And it's 2D, one speaker, something like that. But it got us wondering, Jeff, for the Megaplex theaters with your, you know, gazillions of screens now, I've totally lost track. Well over 100, I know. What is it? What is the number of screens?
Well, 173 screens, 5 IMAX, 1 Platinum X, soon to be 2. A lot of different screen counts across 15 locations in Utah and the one location in Nevada. There's a lot to choose from.
Boy, no kidding. And, you know, I was thinking just the digital and the Atmos, the Dolby, the 2D, the 3D, the IMAX, everything you've mentioned. Have you guys ever just added up on a calculator how many formats you offer of like a movie like Avatar that kind of is full bore that you offer out there?
We have. We actually keep track of it. The other fascinating part is you think about how many movies are released every year. And it's hundreds. And so the team here is doing just an incredible job of managing all of these technologies coming back and forth. When we were hosting Sundance, we were rotating through dozens of films every day through our Gateway location. So, Steve, I think earlier estimated between 8 and 12 different formats. I think we've got you beat by that number a little bit. I lost count going north of 50 different variations. I got up to 57 for different language, digital quality, digital aspect ratio, sound formats. It's pretty intense. Not only that, but to make it accommodating for every guest, our ADA formats that also have to be programmed separately. It really does get into some pretty dynamic and dramatic numbers. Not to get too far into the weeds, but people don't understand fully how tricky it is to hopefully meet or exceed that expectation when they walk into a film and want it to be perfect, you know, when they get into the auditorium.
Wow. Well, you know, when I was thinking about it, and it just popped into my head, it wasn't planned or anything, I just was musing. I wonder how many, with all of their screens and all of the different formats, how many different formats for a movie like Avatar or whatever it might be would be employed at the Megaplex theaters. And I knew it had to be really, really high. And, you know, I hadn't really thought about all those challenges, you know, making sure that when, you know, you get the – yeah, back in the day, I remember it was a big deal, you know, like the Parkview Drive-In. The Parkview Drive-In could offer 35-millimeter – they could do the CinemaScope and all that kind of stuff, and that was with a lens change. But they also, those old Bauer projectors there, you could resocket them and everything, and you could run 70-millimeter magnetic, you know, on it. And that was pretty much state-of-the-art. And then, of course, up at the Villa, they could run Cinerama as well. And I think of where we are today, Jeff, it is just almost unimaginable. You know, here's a weird question. You know, and especially with Sundance and some of the artsy stuff and the local that you do and so on, is there even a living, breathing, analog, traditional film projector in existence today at any of your 170-some-odd screens?
We actually keep two up and running, one at Gateway, at least I think, last I checked it was still there, and one here at Jordan Commons. The Miller family, Larry loved the movie film Field of Dreams with Kevin Costner. Yeah. It was his favorite film, so he actually purchased his own print, a 35-millimeter print, and we have that stored in a very nice climate-controlled room to preserve that film copy, and a projector to run that and any other film that comes through. There are a few directors that still like to display film, you know, in traditional film format, but the digital versus film, you think about what has advanced with digital quality, you can go see a film on opening night and have the exact same experience 100 days later with digital sound and picture, where the film themselves would degrade over time. They'd get the scratches, they'd get cuts, they'd get the audio would get mixed up. So the fact that we can replicate that same experience whenever you see the film, and we're getting all these classic films digitally remastered, so that experience is great. It's phenomenal, but it's all harder than it looks. Kudos to our team that keeps track of it all.
It really is amazing, and I've wondered that because, you know, I'm kind of a buff on this because of, you know, my dad was a projectionist at the Woodland, and he's actually the electrician, but occasionally he'd run the projectors at the Woodland and the Parkview Drive-In. And oh my goodness, you know, I've wondered if there would ever be that deal, because back in the day at KSL, we were playing vinyl records, and, you know, we were playing things off magnetic tape. And then you look at how many artists now, including Brian Wilson, Taylor Swift, and so on, who just crave that, you know, analog sound of vinyl. And you wonder if it'll ever, you know, and if it does, it won't be back to the old days. It will just be for certain aficionados. But Jeff, you mentioned that there are a couple of filmmakers. I was reading an article, and I wish I could remember the filmmaker
Tarantino's
was.
One of them.
Yeah, it might have been Tarantino, who just really loves the look and the feel still on film. But man, you know, to maintain those old beasts, and it's a trick.
So much of film history is being lost because the film degrades. And so some purists are actually going through and sort of doing an artificial aging of the film in a digital format to get that sense. You think of sepia tone, that haze, you know, earth tone color that's put over films, classic and westerns. And even when they do that now, even if it's a cartoon, they're doing it digitally. But there are so many fun things to think about. I mean, when we walked through the Gateway during our reconstruction, we showed you the sprockets that we put in the top of the walls as we run the old film chain from auditorium to auditorium, from projection to projector. And people would laugh at, you know, a movie starting at 12:01 and then the next auditorium starting at 12:07. And it's because it took 6 minutes from one film frame to get from one projector to the other down the hall. Yeah. And thankfully now we can do that all electronically.
And that's so, because right here on the movie show, in the now, what is it, 24-year history of the Megaplex theaters almost. You know, we saw all that. And so it's not, we're not talking the old days. Yeah. It's amazing how quickly things have changed. Jeff, before we tie you up anymore, you know, for a lengthy period of time, we'd love to have you on for the whole show here to just chat about the good old stuff. But tell us what you're looking forward to at the Megaplex theaters in the next little while.
Oh, the pipeline, Hollywood is back in business, and there are some great films. I am not yet permitted to speak of some, but there are some fun titles on the horizon. So we've got Creed this weekend. Shazam! Fury of the Gods is coming. 65 is coming. John Wick Chapter 4. Dungeons and Dragons. Air, the backstory of Michael Jordan's relationship with Nike. There is just some incredible films in the pipeline. We're looking forward to Mission Impossible coming out. Yeah. Thinking about how filmmakers make these films and how they designed to be seen, how they're designed to be seen in theaters. You think of what Tom Cruise does for his stunt work. There's that sequence of him riding a motorcycle off a cliff, and they did it over and over again with real IMAX cameras so that experience could be as immersive as possible. And it just, it brings chills because we really love what we get to do for people.
Yeah, you know, we talked about that stunt, and, you know, when he did it once and everybody's just holding their breath, can you imagine the insurance companies are going crazy, the filmmakers are going crazy, and it was just fine, and they went, a state-of-the-art motorcycle bites the dust mm-hmm. in that, and he comes back and goes, but let's do it again.
And then they do it like six, seven times.
How many times was it, Jeff, that they did that?
Seven or eight. The second time he said, I think I can hold on to the bike a little longer just so he gets a better shot. I mean, for Top Gun, you think of what these filmmakers do, what these actors do to create these performances and put us right in the middle of it. It's incredible.
It is. Jeff, I so appreciate you joining us, but I'm sure that you are just dying to give everybody an update on the Eureka Microplex. So what's happening on that?
You know, with our state of the I don't know.
Oh, he's going into a tunnel.
We're losing the connection here.
Look at the time.
Look at the time. Jeff the Whipple joining us here on the movie show.
Diplomatically exiting.
Yeah, very beautifully done. Jeff the Whipple, you know, we love the association we have with all you guys at the Megaplex Theaters, and we'll be chatting again soon.
Take care, gentlemen.
Hey, thank you, Jeff.
Oh, now his mic works.
All of a sudden that connection just cleared up.
It's a miracle.
It's a movie show miracle. Jeff the Whipple, the Vice President of Advertising, Marketing, and PR at the Megaplex Theaters.
It's the world-famous KSL Movie Show on KSL News Radio.
Do you suppose we're really world-famous, Stephen? You know, you do have to put your headset on, because the microphone's attached to that. There we go.
Are we on?
Hello. Where am I?
I don't want to be on the air when I kill you.
What was that? Was that a confession?
I haven't done it yet.
You know, there's premeditation. You need to consider that.
Oh, for years.
Oh, for years you've considered it. Stephen, should we review yet another? How about if we do one of your streaming?
Ooh, yeah.
How about if we talk about Mandalorian?
Love to.
Okay, now I'm not sure if we have any sound on the Mandalorian. No, we don't have sound on the Mandalorian. Oh, Steve's in mourning now.
Oh,
Gustavo.
Man. Okay.
Steve is going to weep right here in front of our 25 listeners.
No, I'm not, because the first episode of season 3 is really pretty spectacular.
Really? Okay.
In fact, I swear they must have shot this, either got some kind of footage of Lake Powell, because they're having a little ritual where the young boy, you know, once they put on the helmet, they don't take it off.
Yeah.
They're not supposed to, and which always seems weird to me.
That's kind of weird.
How do you brush your teeth or wash your hair or any of that kind of stuff? Anyway,
car wash.
You can't take it off. And this kid is getting the ritual thing, and all of a sudden this massive, I mean like 10-story tall crocodile comes out of the water. Lake Powell. It looks like Lake Powell.
Is this like the Mega, except it's a crocodile?
Oh, yeah, but it's all, you know, ancient and
thorny. And,
yeah,
yeah.
gross looking, and it's attacking everybody on the beach, and, you know, oh, no, oh, my goodness, what are we going to do? And all of a sudden, Mando comes flying in with Grogu. Grogu's back with him, even though that's the Baby Yoda.
Yeah.
And they're, pow, 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 and, everywhere.
I wish people could see what we're seeing.
Start.
You're only hearing this. We are watching the replay here.
I know. I'm very animated about the show. And so the point is that he took off his helmet once.
Uh-oh.
And that is not the way.
That ain't the way.
That is not the way.
Does that mess with the Force or something?
Well, there's a little clause in their little creed that says if you go to the waters beneath the mines of Mandalore, you can be cleansed and be accepted as a Mandalorian. Because right now, he is not.
Wow.
Like, dude, sorry.
He's still on probation?
Yeah, the problem is they blew up all the mines on Mandalore. So he's like, how am I going to find the waters under the mines of Mandalore? Well, that's the mission they're on.
Wow.
And Grogu, the little Yoda dude, he's still, you know, he's still a baby, kind of learning stuff. And he's kind of a little, you know, a little pest, to be honest. He gets in a little trouble once in a while. And it's a cute little setup. And I think that they've kind of gotten to a comfortable, we're so cool. And also, Apollo Creed is in this movie.
Really?
I mean, not Apollo Creed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of his name.
Michael B. Jordan?
No, the... The dad.
Oh, the dad.
Yeah.
Dad Creed.
Yeah. He's like
the Creed.
He's like the arch lord of some planet thing. And they're going there. They've got to get some stuff to figure out how they're going to get to the mines of Mandalore.
See, I miss that. It was Apollo, not Adonis.
Yes. That's right. Apollo is the papa.
Yep.
What is his name?
I can't remember the actor's
Jackson,
name.
Isn't it? No. I don't know. That was Action Jackson.
Somebody's going. Gustavo's going to bail us out here.
Idiots. It's.
I know.
It's on the tip of my
tongue.
Anyway, it's a good start.
Okay. We woke Gustavo up.
Oh.
We're looking for the actor that played Apollo Creed. And neither Steve nor I can.
It's right on the tip.
It's right on the tip. It's even closer. It's spilling out of my mouth
sometimes
right now.
If I look away, it'll come to me.
I know.
Anyway, he's in it. And it's cool, and I'm looking forward to that Mandalorian episode one. Now, these are going to be on Wednesdays now. They're going to premiere each Wednesday. So, That's it.
There we go. Carl Weathers. Duh.
Sorry, Mr. Weathers. You're awesome.
Sorry. And for all of our three fans out there that are going, what a bunch of idiots. I couldn't remember Carl Weathers. Are you kidding
Click.
Me? Click. Yeah, but come back because
we'll have more stuff.
We'll have more stuff, and we'll
promise to remember their names.
Not be quite such a disappointment to you. Okay, there you have it. We're halfway through the movie show, Steve. We still have a lot of territory to cover.
Yes, we do.
We do. So
Operation Fortune, we got that coming up.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah. Operation. If you're a Jason Statham fan.
Oh. And you know, if you're a Hugh Grant fan.
Hugh Grant and what her name?
Aubrey Plaza.
From White Lotus. And she was on Saturday Night Live just a while back.
Yeah, she hosted.
Yeah, someone.
The movie show.
It ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
On KSL News Radio.
Oh, that hurts.
Now, see, we get Stallone in here. As a matter of fact, the Utah Film Critics Association, the cadre of critics, several years ago, you know, we had him as best supporting actor, right?
What was the movie, though?
I'm trying to remember. Was it one of the... Which movie was... Anyway, we actually heard from Stallone.
Oh, yeah. He was, like, thrilled that we...
Yeah.
Did we actually pick him as the
best
supporting
actor? Yeah, we did. We picked him, you know? Normally,
we're... Copland, was it?
No. I don't think it was Copland. It wasn't that long ago. But, you know, normally, honestly, the cadre gets a little into the, you know, artsy weeds.
I know what you're trying to
say. Did I put that delicately? So
Evian for everyone.
But this one we just Evian for caviar. But we actually kind of went earthy on that one.
Yeah.
We got the notice of Sly Stallone on that. Steve, I think it's time for a little streaming news.
Oh, yes.
So here we go. Do we have a theme for streaming news? I think we do.
Do we?
Yeah, we do.
Planning on a weekend on the couch? Streaming your favorite movie or a new show? Doug and Steve sort through it all so you only binge the best.
Yeah,
it's
wasn't
the movie
quite
show
sure.
Streaming Reviews on KSL News Radio.
If we
still
had
talking,
the new
by the way,
one, I know.
Yakking over.
I know. Well, see, these are all new. I'm used to the old breakpoints. You know, I'm an old dog.
That's why you're in the dog house.
That's why I'm in the dog house. But, you know, we used to have an HR person at KSL, just absolutely beloved. But she was from a part of the world where it was much easier for her to call me Dog.
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
Dog, right.
Dog. Yeah.
And she would come up and go, Dog, you need to use your trip on vacation time. And okay. So there you go. All right. So, Stephen.
Sir.
Streaming news.
You kick off. Okay. Agent Elvis. Have you heard of this?
Elvis?
What? Don't get
Not
that
the
look.
Elvis.
Oh, yeah.
This is the Elvis?
Well, yeah. It's Agent Elvis. It's a TVMA animated series coming to Netflix in just a couple of weeks.
Okay.
March 17th. Matthew McConaughey will voice the king.
The king.
Christina Hendricks is in it. Simon Pegg, Gary Cole.
Simon Pegg.
Johnny Knoxville. And Priscilla Presley.
Wow.
Is going to do the voice of Priscilla Presley.
Can you imagine if you were doing a live-action movie and had that lineup, what that would cost you?
Oh.
I mean, you know, and almost all actors, I would love to, I'm just a radio geek, but I mean, wouldn't it be fun? We've talked about this before, to do an animated character.
Oh, that would be just.
It would be so much fun.
Yes, absolutely. So what the story is, he's trading in his jumpsuit for a jetpack as he joins a super secret government agency. You remember didn't he have a badge? He was like a federal marshal at one point.
Oh, yeah. I think he was like an honorary colonel or something.
Yeah, something crazy. Starts March 17th. It is a series, so if you've seen or heard of Archer, it's going to be sassy, and there's going to be language, and there's going to be blood everywhere.
Speaking of blood, I saw the trailer for the first time for the Renfield movie.
Ooh.
Oh, gee. When Nicolas Cage shows up and you see him, you just want to laugh.
You know, I just read yesterday that he said he wants to do another Dracula movie because he didn't get to get into the character.
Well, he's trying to be Christopher Lee.
Yeah, that's right. You know, that's his
favorite Dracula.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's talk about Robert De Niro. He has set up his first starring role in a TV series on Netflix.
I thought for sure this was going to be another Taylor Sheridan.
Netflix. Yeah, that's right. Can you imagine?
He's got every star.
He's got Stallone, Costner. He's got Harrison Ford, Helen Mirren. I mean, good grief. Unbelievable. No, the Netflix company announced that De Niro is attached to star in a new limited series for
be a mob movie.
What's that?
Is it a mob thing?
It's called Zero Day, created by Eric Newman and Noah Oppenheim. The drama series, which will consist of 6 episodes. And apparently, you know, it's described as a conspiracy thriller series. Netflix.
For you Spanish-speaking.
I don't know where that came from. Netflix has released the log line for the show, which is as follows. You know, well, I'm not going to go through all the details, but Zero Day does not yet have a premiere date.
Oh.
And it's not really clear when it will start filming. But Robert De Niro is apparently on board.
Okay, my daughter and I watched the last 3 or 4. Now, I know Shrinking is like an every week episode thing.
I'm really loving Shrinking.
It is so funny. And we watched the rest of it.
And speaking of Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
He is amazing in this
movie. This is a kind of a little sassy thing with Jason Segel, but Jessica Williams is amazing in this.
Yeah.
We just finished watching the whole thing, and it is so good. It gets better as it goes along.
Yeah.
So Shrinking, if you haven't seen it on Apple TV Plus, check it out.
It is really unique.
Oh.
I mean, it truly is. But
you're going to see Harrison Ford in a light that you've never seen before.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He's just he is still a curmudgeon. But
I'm just to the point where he's dealing with his daughter on an issue that they're dealing with.
Oh, and, yeah. So well, you're getting close.
Yeah,
you're a couple away.
That's where we are right now. Okay, the headline on this, Peter Pan and Wendy trailer reveals the Disney Plus live action remake. The Return to Neverland. You're trying to tell me to put the dentures back in?
No, it's itching.
Okay, they're going back to Neverland, and this is the latest Disney live-action remake, Peter Pan and Wendy, and the first trailer has been unveiled. I have not seen it.
I have.
Alexander is a Maloney, and will be Peter Pan.
Okay.
I always wonder if I see a name. Is it Maloney or is it Maloney? And then we have Ever Anderson, who will be Wendy Darling. Jude Law will be Captain Hook. Mm-hmm. And they're all set to land on the streaming service in April. And it's April 28th, to be exact.
The comedian, what's his name? Shoot, I'm going to screw this up, too. Jim Gaffigan is Smee.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But here, have you heard the controversy? They have a young woman who's part Iranian, part African-American,
yeah,
will be playing Tinkerbell.
So what?
And they're having a nervous breakdown.
So what?
People, stop.
Oh,
we got to stop
grief.
Doing this.
So what?
Marvelous Mrs. Maisel?
Yes, yes.
April 14th.
We have been a long time now without Maisel.
Yes, this is the fifth and final season,
yep,
of Mrs. Maisel. And The Consultant. If you have not seen The Consultant and you like Christoph Waltz, Prime Video, 8 episodes, he plays a character that's sinister.
Yeah.
I don't want to give anything away, because once you kind of peel back this onion, you realize, who is this guy?
He is an amazing actor, and he is one of those, like in Glorious Bastards.
Yeah.
He's that Nazi who goes to the dairy farm.
Right, drinks
and
the milk.
And he is just playing with them. You know,
that's exactly what he does in this series.
And Django Unchained?
Man, I know. But he's so charming.
Yeah.
And the things that he does in this movie or
drips.
Gets people to do,
yeah,
in The Consultant is brilliant.
His charm really does just drip.
Which is
you go, oh, man. Okay. All right. Here's another one. The second season of the hit thriller series, The Night Manager, is now in works. Amazon Prime Video. Tom Hiddleston will be back as the lead protagonist.
Will Hugh Laurie be back?
I don't know. I didn't. You know, in the article, I didn't see that. The first season was back in 2016. It will begin filming a little later on this year. So, Night Manager season 2 in the works at Amazon.
That's all I got.
That's all you got?
That's all I got.
That's it?
That's it.
Okay. On that note, then, let's take a brief respite.
Oh. Ooh, I forgot one. Poker Face.
Oh, yeah.
The last episode, I think it's the 10th episode, is with Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yes. This is by far the most dramatic of all of the so far.
Yeah.
It's been kind of funny and cheeky and whatever.
Yeah.
No, this one is full on holy mackerel.
You know,
and Stephanie Sue from Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Yeah, yeah.
She's in it.
Oh, wow. You know, the one thing that I've noticed is the original threat.
Yeah.
You know, back in the casino.
Yeah.
You know, and her being kind of haunted, and it's a thread that I've noticed the thread gets a little thin in some places.
Well, it's back. The thread is back.
The thread is back.
And I listened to the voice of the dad. Have you figured out who that is?
Oh, it seems to me I read somewhere who that is.
Well, I'm pretty good at picking up people's, you know.
It's Liam Neeson, isn't it?
No, it's... Why are you still alive? I don't get it.
I don't know either.
I think it's Ron Perlman.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
I think it's him.
Okay.
Because that voice, I closed my eyes, played it back, and I'm like, that's him.
And did it in slow motion.
No.
And analyzed it on the computer.
No.
You know, broke out the prayer rug, prayed about it.
But the guy that's been following her, Benjamin Bratt, he's in it.
He's in it.
Yeah.
I'm surprised how sinister he can be.
Oh,
because we've seen him in kind of buddy cop movies and, you know, Miss Congeniality and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, so. He's no sweetheart in this series.
No sweetheart in this
but
one.
But she is. Oh, Natasha Lyonne.
Isn't she just addictive?
She is adorably crazy.
And I love it when she just all of a sudden is listening to something and she gets that look on her face and goes, BS. You know?
Oh, yeah.
So if she doesn't say BS. Yeah,
that's what the show should have been called.
Which show? Ours or hers?
The Movie Show.
Who's president of the United States in 1985?
Ronald Reagan.
Ronald Reagan? The actor?
On KSL News Radio.
It is 11:07 here on The Movie Show at KSL News Radio. And, you know, and instead of having D's quirky picks, she unfortunately has a real cold. Now, it has not stopped her from texting me.
Her fingers are working.
Yeah, her fingers are working just fine. But
did she send you her quickie picks?
No. She's
what did you
she's saving
watch
it
this
for
week?
Next week.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, we've She's had several, including an older movie and different things. So
something British.
She was prepared.
Something
British. But I want to take this opportunity because it was on this date in 1980. I call this our real anniversary. This is the day I met Dee.
Oh.
And she was being taken around KSL. She had just come up from the Osmond Studios. And she had worked for the Disney Studios and a little radio station back in Trenton, Missouri, and so on. But she had come to work at KSL, and our HR director was taking her around and introducing her. So this is the day that I met my wife, Dee. Oh. So this is our real anniversary, March 3rd, 1980. So, Dee, if you're out there, that's about the best day of my life.
Well, now you just make me start crying here.
With your one good eye.
Both bad eyes.
Both bad eyes, yeah. So anyway, there you go.
That's very sweet.
So she's probably taking this day off and celebrating away from me.
What do you want? That's what I'm waiting for.
It's probably just a ruse that, you know, she lost her voice. But anyway, happy anniversary, Dee.
Yeah, that's cute.
All right, now let's get down to the important stuff.
Okay.
As if that wasn't important, Steve.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Okay, so it's time, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh,
for the top 10. Here we go.
10, 9.
The KSL Movie Show. Top 10.
5, 4,
listen for the goat.
3, 2, 1.
I don't know why that just cracks me up.
It's funny.
But, you know.
So you're not going to do the...
Well, you know, I don't know.
What, is they wouldn't pay you enough? Or?
Well, you know, no. It was just a... I just thought maybe it's time to turn it over to the goat.
Huh.
What do you think?
The greatest of all time or just a real goat?
I haven't noticed there are any protesters.
Well, they're coming.
Yeah,
I can't believe I'm actually lobbying for it.
You're lobbying for the return of the big announcer voice?
Maybe.
No,
let me think it through.
Are you going to weep over this too?
No.
Okay.
No.
All right, the movie show top 10.
Feel the lady in...
Who?
Remember the lady in... League of Their Own. He's like, are you crying?
Are you
no,
crying? No,
no,
I'm not crying.
There's no crying in baseball.
There's no crying in baseball. Okay, so it's time for the Movie Show Top 10, sponsored by Call Climate Services. Boy, what a great time.
Wow, are they amazing.
Yeah, you know, they truly are.
I'm not kidding.
They're just really, really, really good folks. And I can't tell you, they've taken care of Dee and myself in two different homes. Mm. They've taken care of, and actually, my mom, and they've taken care of us in Eureka. I mean, these guys have tackled about everything you can imagine, including your predicament.
Save me.
Which was off the charts. So, anyway, Call Climate Services up there in Centerville. So, here are the top 10 movies this week. A Man Called Otto. As a matter of fact, Scott sent me a text this past week and said, hey, have you seen any good movies? And what about A Man? I wrote him back. I said, A Man Called Otto. It is well worth seeing,
yep.
And it's made about $63 million domestically. The international numbers on that, Stephen?
Another 41, so it just went over the $104 million mark.
Yeah, and Missing. This is another little movie that normally, if you had described this movie to me, I would go, I'm not too into those kind of movies where, you know, a computer screen is on the screen a lot of
the
time.
That usually drives me nuts.
But this was done very well, and it is a nail-biter. I mean, just a white-knuckler. And it's made about $32 million in its 6 weeks. I'm surprised it hasn't made a little more than that internationally.
Not much. So another $5 million. So we're at 37.
Okay. Knock at the Cabin. You know, we've kind of gone the rounds on this, and we don't disagree. But, you know, on one time, I think, the other times, I don't know. This movie... M. Night Shyamalan either nails it for me, or I just kind of go, oh, really? Or I hate it.
And well, the problem with M. Night is his third act. He always, now that he's done The Fifth Sense, which had the greatest third act of all time.
Sixth Sense. You lost
that was one off.
Yeah, we're
that was the prequel.
We always lose a little sense on this movie show.
Yeah, so he's always worried to death about getting that third act right, and he didn't. He sold out.
Yeah. See, I really like Signs.
Yeah.
I mean, The Sixth Sense, and The Fifth Sense I'm sure would have been good too.
Okay.
Yeah, not that I've ever done that.
No.
But I think of The Village. And The Village started off, I thought, kind of cool.
Yeah, most of his movies
but
do.
It crashed and burned.
Like Old? Wasn't
Old?
It?
Oh, yeah, yeah, where they're out on the island. But I don't know. So anyway, Knock at the Cabin. 80 for Brady. Apparently, Dee and I and several others are in the minority on this. I really dislike this movie. I was really disappointed by it. But, you know, for a simple little movie, it's made about $38 million. And any international numbers on that?
Nope. Not
Ooh,
a one.
Well, then it ain't doing as good as I thought. Magic Mike's Last Dance, Let's Just All Pray. It is the last dance, and they do the final call on this one. You know, it's 1 o'clock in the morning or 2 o'clock mountain time. It's time to shut this puppy down.
I like the gymnastics on the window.
Oh, that man.
That was wild.
Holy cow.
But it's now this one is equally loved internationally. So 24 domestic, 25 foreign.
Mm.
So there Whoopee. You go.
Puss in Boots, on the other hand, 10 weeks in the top 10, and it's made about $175 million domestically. International numbers?
Another 270, so we're at 444.
Wow.
$444 million.
Yeah, this is pretty cool. That's pretty darn good for an animated movie.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, it's great. Avatar. We keep talking about Avatar. Oh, my goodness. Jeff the Whipple. The Whipple, who was with us earlier, talked about how many different formats this shows, even in the Megaplex theaters.
Yeah.
I mean, holy cow. But, I mean, we're talking, what is it, about $667 million domestically, 11 weeks in the top 10?
1.6 billion foreign. We're at $2.268 billion.
Wow.
Currently number three all time worldwide.
We talked about this movie last week. I have to admit, I really kind of like this movie. I like the fact that it wasn't ramming a particular type of religion down my throat. But it dealt with it, and it dealt with the Jesus Revolution of the 1970s, where, I mean, there were so many rock and roll hits. You know, Jesus is just all right by me, day by day, all kinds of songs were out there. And they weren't just, you know, little fringy songs. They were in Casey Kasem's top 10 and really doing well. And Kelsey Grammer stars as a preacher in this.
That's the only part. That...
But, you know, his congregation is fading and aging. And all of a sudden, when they open the door to the freaks, you know, the long-haired, yippy-dippy freaks, all of a sudden, it comes to life, and even some of the old congregants come to life, while others bail completely. I thought it was an interesting story.
Well, I have to admit, once, you know, the hippie dude came out, and he, what was his name, something Nathan Frisbee or something?
Frisbee.
Lonnie Frisbee. Some of the things he said really touched me. I thought, wow. He's kind of
exactly.
in tune with his business there. But then Scott Renshaw mentioned to me that there was a documentary recently about this very subject. They went back and they did a really nice job. If you want to see the doc that this is probably based on.
Oh, that'd be interesting.
I can't remember the name of it, though. Sorry.
And then we go from that to Cocaine Bear. Oh, my goodness. Holy cow. If anybody can be killed in a unique way by a bear that's high on coke and craving for another fix, you see it in this movie. And nobody is spared. Sweet old ranger woman, you know, young kids.
The kids were fine.
Ultimately fine. But injured slightly. The little girl was slightly injured and got dragged
off. She got nicked.
Well, compared to the other people, she was fine.
Here was the deal. They said, you can't kill any kids. And there was another, I can't remember what the other one was.
Yeah. But we kill foreign hikers.
Well, yeah, they're fine.
Sweet couple nice from Norway or wherever they were.
They were
goodness.
Funny.
Oh. And when,
come on, you didn't.
I did.
You did enjoy.
I laughed myself silly.
See, this is what I thought
movie.
Violent Night would do for me, but it didn't.
Well, you need to go back and.
I did watch it again.
You watched it again,
and I still thought it was stupid.
Wow. Well,
but
this
I'll
is
tell you what,
stupid, but it's wonderfully.
Guess
stupid.
What we've done here? We've
what
opened
we
the door
to what?
To Meth Gator. I am not making that up.
Meth Gator.
The Sharknado people like, hey, wait a minute.
You're
in our territory now.
Meth Gator.
Meth Gator coming to a theater near y'all.
Yeah, in the old days at the Highland Drive-In, they would have had a trilogy.
Oh,
Meth Gator, Cocaine Bear, and...
By the way, the bear that's in the Kentucky Fun Mall
Yeah.
Is there are lines of people
the
going to see.
The real cocaine bear.
And guess what? He's got a little plaque around his name. His name is Pablo Escobar.
Oh, it just gets worse. But, oh, watch this movie at your own peril. If you are put off by blood and guts, literally, and gore,
yeah.
Even the little bears get involved in it. Little yeah, cute little just, bears. Yeah, they don't know what they're doing.
They're just coked up, though.
Yeah, they're coked up little bears. Okay, meanwhile.
Wait, what's the numbers?
Oh, the numbers. We got about 24 million domestically.
Oh, not more, much more than that. 27 now domestic.
What, did you go back again?
Nope.
And actually pay?
No. But another five foreign. That's a 33. That's 33. Not bad for a $10 movie.
Ooh, and then Ant-Man and the Wasp. Quantumania, you know, we wondered how this would do and what kind of drop-off we'd have.
Yeah, have you heard the number on the drop-off?
Well, all I know is it's basically from $130 million down to $32
million. 70% yeah. drop, which is the largest drop of a Marvel movie ever.
And we predicted that because everybody was, including me, I was so skeptical on the Ant-Man thing. I went, yeah, oh, yeah, sure, right. Ant-Man.
Was the background.
We're going to have Gopher Man next. But, you know, it was so much fun.
Oh, you mean originally.
And so beautifully done. And then when they introduced the Wasp and kind of took it to another level, but there are a lot of personal development still in that and a lot of kind of, you know, does she like him? You know, I mean, real people stuff in a kind of a real world environment, but then taking us into the Ant-Man universe. And now we are just immersed in the universe and it's lost its soul.
Yep.
So
the funny thing is that Jonathan Majors, who is also in the Creed movie, he's a brilliant actor. And you can tell that he is really giving it his all in Ant-Man.
That's right.
And yet it's such a goofy character. Why is he so upset
at the
universe?
I don't know.
I don't like what they're doing. Oh, okay.
So I'm going to kill billions, trillions of people.
That's stupid.
Yeah. And there's so many layers, you know. I mean, I get it. If this multiverse thing is done okay, you know, you can kind of this one you're
But
going,
even when you throw in Bill Murray, you know, for a brief moment, you're like, that was creepy.
Yeah. Yeah. Should have been funny. I mean, when they throw in Bill Murray in Zoolander, Zombieland.
Yeah.
Yeah. I knew it started with a Z. You know, it's funny. It's hilarious.
Oh,
and it
absolutely.
Adds to the movie.
Absolutely.
And I'm going, what in the world?
This just felt like, what?
So you can tell how much we loved Ant-Man.
Somebody asked me, so what did you think of Ant-Man and the Quantum Mania? I was like,
nope. Yep. I have no desire to see it again.
Nope.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there you have it, movie show fans, all three of you. It is the movie show top 10.
The movie show.
You probably think this world is a dream come true. But you're wrong.
On KSL News Radio.
You know, still to come, we have telephone torture, Steve. With what?
Well, at least Carl Malone's not in town anymore.
You know, we had Donny Osmond drop by one day. By the way, I need to mention this.
Oh, are you going to name drop now?
Well.
Did you go behind the
no,
curtain
I didn't.
Afterwards?
We were regular customers. You know, Dee used to work at the Osmond Studios and knew all of the Osmonds. And I've known Donny over the years, you know, just casually. It's not like we hang out or anything. But, you know, he's a good enough friend that one time we were doing a remote.
Yeah.
And he stopped by. He bought the product of the remote. And then he let you.
That's right.
I was the passenger. But he said, come on out and take my Tesla for a drive. So Steve muscled me out of the way. I was, you know, face down on the tarmac.
You want to hear the real story?
And went around and got in the driver's side, and I got in the passenger side. And this is when he was having the issue with his throat. He just had that surgery on his throat, so he couldn't speak very loud. And he leans down, and he whispers to Steve. He goes, floor it. And he did.
Oh, boy.
Oh, man.
Talk about the G-force.
That is the one and only time I've ever been in a Tesla.
Yeah, me too.
And it was Donny Osmond. But anyway, we went down to see him in Vegas. It's a solo show at Harrah's. And I'll tell you, he was on fire. He did a great, great show.
He's not really a puppy anymore.
No, he was. I think we looked up on the bio. He was born in 1957. So he's like 64, 65, you know, somewhere in there. And it was a great show. That takes a lot of effort.
How long is the show?
It was 90 minutes, and he was just on fire. It was great. Yeah, it was fun.
Did you ask him how his harvest rice freeze-dryer?
No, I didn't ask him how his freeze-dryer was. But that's the remote he stopped by and bought. But, you know, so, I mean, maybe Carl Malone will drop by one of these days.
Well, I hope not, because if he hears what we
what we do to him on telephone torture,
yeah.
Yeah, maybe you're right.
Because losing sucks.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Although it's dead on, though. I mean,
and if he walked through the door right now, I'd just go, it's Steve.
Of course you would.
I just point, and he'd just take care of it.
I go, I'll be under the bus changing the oil.
And he'd be backing it up. Yeah. All right.
Thump, thump.
Okay. You know, the movie show just all of a sudden went dark.
Yeah, like Cocaine Bear. I can't wait for Meth Gator.
Meth Gator. Oh, my goodness. All right. It is 11:30 here at KSL News Radio. Brief break, and we'll come back. We've still got some films to talk about. We've got Operation Fortune we've got to talk about.
Yeah, that's a pretty good movie.
Actually. That is a pretty good movie. I have to admit, I enjoyed it a lot.
The Movie Show.
It's a fake laugh.
It's real.
On KSL News Radio.
It is 11:40 here at KSL, and Steve, I think we probably ought to do a little telephone torture here.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh. Somebody's going to win fabulous prizes.
Only one. Let's...
worth up to dollars, Steve.
I play call out.
Okay. We do have the traditional gift package today.
Yes. Since Valentine's Day literally has passed.
Yeah. It
not that you might have heard.
Despite some messages earlier to the contrary, but right now it's two drinks, a tub of popcorn, and two tickets for any movie you want to see.
Cocaine Bear.
At any Megaplex theater out there, one of the 170 plus screens. Right.
That sounds okay. Sounds accurate.
Good throughout the Intermountain West. By the way, they have a beautiful facility in St. George. We drove up the hill. And, had breakfast at a nice little place that's right there. And right across the parking lot from us was the Megaplex Theaters right there in St. George. Okay, so I'm thinking of a number, Steve.
Three.
Three? How'd you come up with that?
Because you're holding three Frisbees?
Well, I was just admiring them. They say KSL News Radio 102.7 FM.
Those are new, by the way, huh?
They just haven't decided to.
Do you want me to teach you how to throw one?
Oh no.
Are you a professional?
And I know I don't have to teach you how to catch one with your mouth. So anyway.
Oh, you're about to catch one somewhere else.
You'd be surprised how he jumps up in the air and twists and still lands on his
feet. Keep going, Douglas.
Lands on his feet sometimes. Okay, so let's go to the phone line. I like that little drum thing again. Just give that one more time. Okay, so.
That's when the joke doesn't work.
No, that's when it works. Johnny did the slow fade, and he just kind of go, anybody still out there? But that was for the good one.
Who's Johnny?
Carson.
Oh, that car.
Oh, good. Come on. You're old enough. You're old enough.
You're back in the black and white era. Okay.
No, he was in full color on the NBC network. Okay, so let's go to what am I going to do with this guy?
He's not shaking his head at you.
No, he's shaking his head at you. Steve, right? Yeah. Yeah, everybody is. Okay, so let's go to the phone line, KSL Talk. And remember, you shan't have won a prize on the movie show or on KSL in the last 90 days.
So that's Honest Tom's out. Vahe's is still out.
Yeah. Bob, Rosie, who else?
Was Rosie?
Don.
No. Don, okay. Yeah, Don won.
Let's go to the phone
that's
line.
Pretty much all of our callers.
See who, that's every movie show listener we've got. Hi, who's this?
This is Michael.
Michael, how are you?
Not so good today.
Well, you know, that's true, Michael, because you're caller number one.
And yeah, usually one's good.
One is usually good, but in your case, it's not. So, you know what that makes you?
Loser.
Ouch.
Are his dentures coming out?
You mean because he didn't get the L in? Or
I don't know.
Loser.
Yeah, there's chewing some gum.
Maybe.
I don't know. Let's loserize him.
Have you heard about the lonesome loser?
That's so bad.
He's a loser, but he still keeps
you feeling
on
bad?
Trying.
Almost every day.
Almost every day. Or just Fridays?
No.
Friday's
every day.
Special.
Friday's special. It certainly is. Let's go back to the phone line. This will be our last loser of the day. And hi, who's this?
Barbara.
Barbara, you sound awfully chipper.
Am I number three?
No, you missed it.
A little off.
You missed it by one, Barbara.
Oh, shoot. Okay, I'm calling back. Bye.
Okay. Okay, do you think she can do it?
She might. It's happened before.
Well, let's loserize her, and then we'll see if she's back.
Give her a long
I'm
loser.
A loser.
Yeah. Yep.
Still a loser.
Okay. All right. Do you think it'll be Barbara?
No, it won't be Barbara.
I don't know. Gustavo has a lot of power.
He does.
He's probably rigging this right now.
He's probably running it through his fanny pack server.
That's right. Hi, who's this?
We're full of let's loserize her, and then we'll see if she's back. Give her a long
well, I'm glad we could have this instant replay. All right. Hi, who's this?
This is Muzz.
Muzz. How do you spell that?
M-U-Z-Z.
M-U-Z-Z.
Well, there's a new one.
What, did your parents just mispronounce Buzz or what?
Something like that, yeah.
That's right. The guy goes, can't you just see the doctor going, are you sure you don't mean Buzz? Well, Muzz.
That is not on your birth certificate, Muzz.
No, it is not on my birth certificate.
Oh, rats. I think that would be really cool.
I kind of want to know how he got that name, but yeah, I also don't.
How did you get the nickname Muzz?
My grandfather gave it to me, and I don't know where he got it.
Really? Did your grandpa like you?
You didn't ever ask him?
I think so.
Yeah, I'm sure he did. Grandpas are just special. They like every kid, even you, Muzz.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. You're welcome.
I know how it started. You must take out the garbage. You must do your homework.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
No? Nobody? Okay.
Don't we get the drum thing for Steve on that one? Okay, Muzz, here's the good news. You are caller number three. You have won fabulous prizes worth up to...
Dollars.
Muzz, that is absolutely right. What movie are you going to go see? Steve wants you to go see Cocaine Bear.
No, he didn't have to see Cocaine Bear. Whatever you want,
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, you know, all you have to do is just look up the Megaplex theaters, and there will be something there to tantalize you. And who are you going to take with you, Muzz?
Probably Muzz. My wife.
Mrs. Muzz?
Mrs. Muzz. Yeah, Mrs. Muzz.
Does she have a nickname?
No nickname on her.
No nickname on her.
Maybe sweetheart.
Well, Muzz and Mrs. Muzz are going to be heading to the Megaplex theaters.
So, Mr. and Mrs. Muzz?
You're going to have two tickets to see whatever you want to see, or probably whatever your wife wants to see. And you're going to have two drinks to enjoy and a tub of popcorn. But, Muzz, there is one thing we must have you do before we can bestow. I know I couldn't resist. Thank you. Before you get all that, we need to make all the losers feel better. So you know what to do.
I don't know what to do.
Oh, we have a new winner.
Newbie.
Okay, now there's only one guy in the universe that can make losers feel better about being losers, and his name is Frank Sinatra. So you need to introduce Frank.
Frank, give it to him.
Ooh. There you go.
Man, a few words.
Here's to the losers. Bless them all.
There you go. Another rousing rendition.
I like that name, Muzz.
I do too, Muzz.
That sounds like a good old boy.
He does sound like a good old boy. His grandpa gave him the name Muzz.
What was his grandpa's name?
Did your grandpa call you anything other than, hey, you? My grandpa called me Dougie.
Dougie?
Yeah.
I got a few names that my grandpa called me, but I probably shouldn't share.
But this is a family show, as we proudly tout at the beginning each and every week.
Back to Doug Wright, Steve Sales, and the KSL Movie Show.
Okay, let's get a little sound from Operation Fortune.
Was
Someone pinch me, please. Is that Danny Francesco? What's next for you?
I'm playing a mysterious self-made billionaire.
You just described me. Shadow me. Do whatever I do. Whatever I do, do.
Cover's blown.
What do I do?
The movie star's going to melt.
Okay, there's a big international thing going on where there's this device.
MacGuffin.
Nobody knows exactly what's going on here, but $10 billion is what it's going for. And the Hugh Grant character is brokering it, and he gets a commission. We've got some real bad guys here. And so Jason Statham and Josh Hartnett is recruited out of Hollywood. He's the movie star that Hugh Grant really likes and admires. And there are so many other Jason Statham is just perfect, and they're going to try to find out what's going on. But we find out that there's a competing group. Now, are they friendlies or are they not? Somebody's gone rogue, Mickey, and you go, oh, my goodness, this thing is
that
so
was a little
nuts.
Too much.
It was a little too much. But it's so much fun, and Jason Statham just makes this great. Hugh Grant steals the movie. And what's the young woman's name?
Aubrey Plaza.
Yeah, she is absolutely fabulous. I have to admit, I really like this movie. Is it a great movie? No. Is it a really good popcorn movie? Yes.
This is Guy Ritchie wishing upon a star that he could make a 007 movie, because that's what this tries to be. Yeah, it's not on that level, but it's pretty funny, and some of the banter back and forth is good.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So I like the crispness of it. I love the dialect. And I'll tell you, Hugh Grant, we've seen him do this before, you know, where he's got that kind of cockney, you know, he's not a sophisticated Englishman.
He's playing a good villain these days.
He is playing a really good villain. So what's a grade?
B.
B, yeah. It's 3 stars from me, and it's rated R. Isn't that because of language, or is it PG-13?
It's rated R.
Rated R for language. And then you wanted to mention some little French film,
well,
too.
Well, you know, the French are good at making movies about just everyday life. And I was watching this movie. My daughter walked by, and she goes, what's this about, Dad? I'm like, it's about a young woman trying to decide whether to put her father in a home. Mm. And she goes, oh, I should sit down and watch
this.
Yeah,
that's right.
I'm like, don't get any ideas. Yeah. But there's that, and then an old flame comes back, and there's a kid involved. It's really kind of a sweet little movie. Léa Seydoux is a great French actress. And she stars in this. I gave this a B+.
This is One Fine Morning.
One Fine Morning, and it's playing at the Broadway.
And the other movie we were talking about with Jason Statham and Hugh Grant that we each gave mine 3-star from Steve a B, it's called Operation Fortune.
And that's in theaters, wide
in
release.
In theaters, wide release. Well, Stephen, that does it for another episode of the movie show here at KSL News Radio. Mm-hmm. And we'll be back next week, despite popular demand.
There you go.
With more movies to talk about.
Absolutely.
All right. Hey, thanks so much for joining us here on the movie show. We love hanging out with all of you. Thank you for having the good sense of humor and hopefully the lowering your standards a little bit to tolerate us.
And Muzz, thanks for joining
us. And Muzz, thank
Mrs.
you.
Mrs. Muzz.
First-time winner out there with Mrs. Muzz. This is KSL-FM Midvale, KSL-AM Salt Lake City. Tonight, when you go home, please make sure you hug the people you love.